All right, the first of these articles that we're going to read comes from the San Jose Mercury for Monday, December 15th, 1986. The headline, Hakim file on arms deal is stolen, police say. The article is written by Brad Kava, K-A-V-A, a Mercury News staff writer. A file containing information about arms sales to Iran was stolen Saturday night from the Cupertino office of an attorney for Albert Hakim, a Los Gatos businessman who has been implicated in the continuing controversy over secret arms dealings with Iran, sheriff's deputies said Sunday. The Hakim file and a box of computer disks containing information on the firm's active cases were the only things taken in the burglary, which deputies described as, quote, a professional job. The thief or thieves who pried open a wooden door were in the office for less than 10 minutes, deputies said. They said the office was not ransacked. The attorney, Horace Dunbar of Saratoga, told deputies that only he and his legal assistant knew where the Hakim file was kept. The Iranian-born Hakim has been linked to a secret operation to sell U.S. arms to Iran and funnel the profits to Nicaraguan rebels. His name is on a Swiss bank account that the U.S. Justice Department's Criminal Investigation Division has asked Swiss officials to freeze. Hakim and a business partner, retired U.S. Air Force General Richard V. Secord, are two of the key figures in the military supply operation to the Contras, which was apparently directed by Marine Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, the former National Security Council aide under investigation in the arms deal. Dunbar told deputies that the stolen file contained information about the arms sale, according to the report filed with the Santa Clara County Sheriff's Department. Okay, now this burglary of Hakim is not only significant for the rather narrow area of the arms deal that Hakim had information on, but Albert Hakim and his Stanford Technologies Corporation was also, of course, very involved with the secret team, not only through Richard Secord, but Ed Wilson and Frank Turple, and Albert Hakim himself through the permutation of his organization through International Imaging Systems was also tied into Otto von Bolschwing's TCI.
Recalling that in RFA number 30, we took a look at the link between Stanford Technology and TCI. That link is International Imaging Systems, founded by Albert Hakim. It was first part of TCI. It moved on to become part of Stanford Technology, a front major player in the Iran-Contra scandal and a front for Turple and Wilson to pull many of their shenanigans in Libya.
That's right. And TCI, of course, was Otto von Bolschwing's operation. We talked a great length about Otto von Bolschwing, apparently the head of the Galen Organization in America, a Nazi SD man of high rank, and himself a rather interesting character in terms of his connections through Helena von Daum to the Ronald Reagan administration. Helena von Daum, we talked about earlier, once President Reagan's secretary for appointments and personnel, later became the U.S. ambassador to Austria, where, as we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, about that same time there also brewed up another Iran arms scandal with Vost Alpine AG.
Which turned out to be very, very deadly for people who had to testify about it.
That's right. So while Albert Hakim himself has not died yet, some of the key information that he might have had to deliver to the, or might have been forced to deliver if his lawyers had so advised him to deliver to the committee, disappeared. Again, an obvious political black bag job in that the people walked in, knew exactly where the stuff was, walked out with it, didn't touch anything else. I mean, anybody who would suggest that this was other than just that, a black bag job, are really searching for alternate explanations beyond the bounds of reason.
More on the Hakim burglary. Reading from the San Jose Mercury News of Tuesday, December 16, 1986, one day after the article Nip read you. This also was by Brad Kava of the Mercury News. It's headlined, FBI is assisting search for stolen Hakim file. The FBI is assisting in the search for a file purported to be to document arms sales to Iran that was stolen Saturday from the office of a Cupertino attorney representing Albert Hakim, according to a bureau spokesman. Quote, we have been notified and we are monitoring the case, said FBI spokesman John Holford, who added that the Bureau would review the case, which is being investigated by Santa Clara County Sheriff's deputies. Skipping down. Detectives said the file was taken in a professional burglary in which the burglar or burglars seemed to know exactly where to look and found the file within 10 minutes. The file was in one of 7 5-drawer file cabinets containing files organized by number. Hakim's name was on the file, Davis said. a couple of aspects to this article. Remember the FBI's investigation of the Hakeem burglary, because as we're going to see, the FBI, perhaps due to the situation of its former director, William Webster, who has gone on to become head of the CIA, was less than enthusiastic in pursuing certain aspects of the Iran-Contra investigation. And as we're going to see, the person who is slated to come in as FBI director, former Texas Judge William Sessions, himself has interesting ties to players in the secret team, as the Christic Institute calls them.
One last thing on the Albert Hakeem burglary, the continuing story, Albert Hakeem burglary, the sequel. This is from the Saturday morning, December 20th, 1986, San Jose Mercury News. The article is headlined, "File on Hakeem is Returned to His Attorney." Another article by Brad Kaba, Mercury News staff. In a tale with the twists and turns of a spy novel, an attorney for Los Gatos businessman Albert Hakeem said Friday that the legal file stolen from him earlier in the week had been returned after two surreptitious meetings at San Francisco International Airport. Cupertino attorney Horace Dunbar told sheriff's deputies that he found the file containing information on Hakeem, who has been linked to the Iran arms scandal, in an airport locker on Friday after a man left a key for the locker on an armrest in a waiting area near Gate 70. Rather interesting case. One wonders what was given and what was received. Were they the same files coming back that went out? And if so, what was the reason for taking them and what was extracted in return for the giving back of the file?
As we're going to see, the pattern of break-ins to individuals' homes and offices of people or institutions related in an important way to the Iran-Contra scandal, well, that has become a familiar pattern and is an ongoing one, apparently. Reading now from the San Francisco Chronicle of Tuesday, January 6th of 1987, an L.A. Times story dateline Washington headlined, "Contra Group Reports Office Burglary." A Nicaraguan rebel group linked to the Iranian arms scandal said yesterday that most of the financial records in its Washington office have disappeared in an apparent burglary. "Our bank records are gone. All the canceled checks are gone. All the receipts," said Bosco Matamoros, Washington representative of the Nicaraguan Democratic Force, the largest of several U.S.-backed rebel armies. "I think it was somebody trying to find out about our operations," he said. "It was a very selective search," unquote. Matamoros said he was unable to explain how the theft had occurred. He said he discovered the documents were missing from an unlocked cabinet yesterday after returning from a Christmas vacation. The alleged burglary follows several other unexplained thefts of documents connected to the Contra rebels' private funds and the Iranian arms deals. And as we shall see, that was not the only break-in.
Indeed. Reading from the San Jose Mercury again for January 8, 1987. Headline, FBI to investigate break-in at office of group opposed to U.S. Contra aid. The article is by William Hershey of the Mercury News Washington Bureau. The FBI will investigate a break-in at the Washington office of a group opposed to Reagan administration's Central American policies to determine if federal civil rights laws were violated, the Justice Department announced Wednesday. Assistant Attorney General John R. Bolton disclosed the investigation in letters to Representatives Donald Edwards, Democrat of San Jose, and Edward Fagan, Democrat of Ohio, who requested it December 5th in a letter to Attorney General Edwin Meese. Fagan said he and Edwards were, quote, pleased and somewhat surprised that the FBI will investigate the break-in at the International Center for Policy Development, headed by Robert E. White, former U.S. ambassador to Nicaragua, and an opponent of U.S. aid to the Nicaraguan Contra rebels. Fagan, Edwards, and others have suggested that the break-in during the last weekend in November was related to 30 to 40 similar incidents that have occurred since September 1984 at offices of groups opposed to administration's Central America policies. Let me read that again. Edwards and others have suggested that the break-in during the last weekend in November was related to 30 to 40 similar incidents that have occurred since September 1984 at offices of groups opposed to administration Central American policies. Nothing of monetary value was taken in the break-ins, but files were ransacked and documents taken. In the Washington incident, Center officials said one missing document contradicted White House denials that the Reagan administration was helping a private supply network to ferry weapons and supplies to Nicaraguan rebels. It could be suggested, by the way, that obviously, you know, you break into a place like this, you steal documents. Chances are good that many of those documents, there will be copies of them, and that, in fact, you have not removed forever those documents. However, one of the alternate reasons for breaking in might be to be finding out who the informants of some of these groups are who are investigating things like the Contra Supply Network and things like that. Daniel Sheehan just talked on the tape that we just played about the mysterious and sudden death of one of his informants, and in fact, the only thing that protects these informants oftentimes is anonymity. And if their names are in file cabinets and those files are ransacked by burglars, and those informants later turn up dead, one has to ask, well, what is going on here?
Interesting sidelight to the break-in that Nip just told you about at the International Center for Development Policy, hearkening back to an article we read earlier in this broadcast and that we also read in RFA number 29, reading from In These Times, the issue of April 15th through 21st of 1987. And again, we read this earlier in the program. Hull said he brought an affidavit for Glibbery to sign, but claimed it did not mention communism. Quote, the affidavit said that Glibbery took bribe money to accuse me of helping the Contras from Senator Kerry through Robert White's slush fund, unquote. White, former U.S. ambassador to El Salvador, is now the president of the International Center for Development Policy based in Washington, D.C. So he was a person who'd drawn the ire of John Hull and been mentioned in the context of this, quote, communist conspiracy, unquote.
Indeed. And by the way, that second article, the In These Times article, was right in citing Robert White as former ambassador to El Salvador. The Mercury News article, they said ambassador to Nicaragua, was incorrect. I don't believe he ever was. Well, since that is the end of our information, I think maybe we can recap and give people some key addresses and things like that that might be of use, and then who knows?
Okay. Well, basically, do you want to sum up? But why don't we give them the address for archives on audio?
Yeah, I think the summing up is actually fairly basic tonight. What it is if you mess with the administration, you wind up dead. If you plan to talk about messing with the administration, you wind up dead quicker. And I think that probably sums up most of the broadcast tonight.
Yeah, again, some of the deaths that we've spoken about are very speculative. Maybe not all of them are directly connected to the Iran-Contra scandal, but certainly with the numbing pile of corpses that has mounted since this scandal began to break, or since people began messing with it in one way or another, certainly leaves us, I think, with a very clear picture of what is going on. And this is why we kicked off the two-part cover-up program with what we feel is the single most important aspect of the cover-up, which is the physical covering up, as in burying, of many of the key people involved with this. And again, this is a pattern which has become almost numbing. We took a look at the assassination of John Kennedy and all the witnesses who dropped dead there. With the Triple Wilson case, all of the people who turned up dead of two revolver shots to the head, an alleged suicide, things of this kind, as in the case of William Russell Cranford. With regard to the Mediterranean merry-go-round, the five-part Radio Free America series about the shooting of the Pope, the numbing series of participants, witnesses, and investigators who wound up dead for under various circumstances who looked into that, brings to mind Yogi Berra, the Yankee Hall of Fame catcher's famous phrase, it's like deja vu all over again, you know, and it certainly is when you've, paraphrasing Ronald Reagan, when you've seen one murderous conspiracy, you've seen them all.
Yeah, there does seem to be a certain, as you mentioned, numbing regularity and a sort of a numbing lack of imagination on the part of the secret team in terms of how they arrange these things. And the cover-up seems to be fairly brutal, as you just confuse as many as you can, and those you can't confuse, you bump off, and that seems to be about the sum.
Bump off or rip off, because the burglaries also appear to have been playing a key part.
That's
so
right.
You can't bump them off, rip them off.
Yeah, and I thought that was an important statistic, 30 to 40 related burglaries since 1984 against just these kinds of organizations. And who knows how many of the corpses, before they were corpses, were names in files that were stolen from these particular places.